Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Ryan Brecklin from Good Bottle Auctions and Nest Egg Auctions is joining us. He comes in a couple times a year. Over the course of the last couple weeks, you've been submitting items around your home, wondering what they're worth. And now Ryan's going to tell you. Ryan, yesterday we had an ivory tusk sculpture that there was a lot of controversy about, and we've been getting a lot of ivory. Can we talk a little bit about why ivory is so controversial right now?
Because the illegal trade of ivory in the world, mostly, the demand, I think, is mainly centered in Asia. It basically promotes the senseless killing of elephants in Africa. They're killing the elephants, taking the tusks, leaving them there, and decimating the population. So, quite importantly, they wanted to restrict the trade of ivory in and out of the United States and put in a ban of basically importation or exportation. They couldn't get a ban on ownership. They couldn't get a ban on things like that because we have a lot of historical objects made of ivory.
Right.
And then some of the activist groups took it to the state level, and essentially they've locked down the interstate trade of ivory. Selling it across state lines is primarily illegal in the United States.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
You can inherit it. You can pass it down. You can own it, and it can be in possession. You can have possession of it, but you can't make money from it is what's happening.
And I can't drive across a bridge from state to state. That's just leaving it at home. Wow.
So yesterday, basically, the ivory tusk sculpture, you said, would sell between $800 and $1,200, but you have to worry about state lines, and you're better off just giving it to somebody and letting them inherit it.
Yeah, that's an old number. That's like a pre-2016 number when you could trade in it. And now that number's really zero. It's just a nice object, you know, something interesting.
Okay, wow. So what did we receive from one of our listeners?
So this is from Chris. Sends in a Chinese cup, which is carved just like a chalice, something like that, and a Chinese vase. And they're both ivory colored. They both have carvings on the outside, intricate scenes and relief carvings. But these are actually kind of the opposite of that tusk that we were talking about previously, where these objects were intended to fool someone into believing that they're ivory.
Oh, yeah. We got our first fake.
This is a cast plastic replica of an ivory Chinese chalice and an ivory Chinese vase.
Imagine if you've been holding something, right? Like in your family for generations, and then you find out it's made of plastic.
No, I think it's exactly what she says, right? She's been holding on to it for years.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a real thing. How many times do we get... We got so many pictures of paintings, and I always say, like, please stop sending the paintings, you know? But people hold on to them thinking that they're worth so much money, and then they're not worth anything. You have no idea.
And then sometimes they toss them. or they sell them at a tag sale, and they sell them for $5, and somebody makes $5 million.
This is one case where if you sold this at a tag sale for $5, you're fine.
You made
it.
You're
good. You're good
fine.
To go.
Sorry, guys. Your ancient Chinese artifacts are made in Hong Kong out of plastic.
It's kind of sad though to even learn that, right? Because we put these faith, we put this worth into these objects by our belief.
Yeah.
Wow, you just pulled the curtain back.
Sorry, just because grandma said it was valuable doesn't always mean it is.
Yeah,
this belonged to my great-grandmother. Oh my gosh, it's so sad. It was passed to me in the mid-90s. I mean, 30 years they've been holding on to this.
It could have been the last thing that she did.
Yeah.
It could have been the last conversation they had.
I'm sorry, Chris. All right, we're going to have more with Ryan coming up later on today.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
He's back, Ryan Brecklin from Good Bottle Auctions and Nest Egg Auctions. He's an expert appraiser, and a couple times a year he'll come join us. You've been submitting your items for the last couple weeks, things you found in your attic, you got inherited from your great-grandmother.
Mm.
He'll tell you what they're worth. Now, what are we looking at today, Ryan?
So Mary Jo sent in a nice little story. I'll read some of it here. My father-in-law grew up in the Bronx and always told the family that when he worked for Harry M. Stevens at Yankee Stadium, he met Babe Ruth.
Whoa.
Wow.
He said that Babe liked to visit kids and would sign autographs on index cards, and sent a picture of the autographed index card that says Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the signature and I said, that's pretty good. Like, instinct right away said that signature looks decent.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ways that you can authenticate an autograph, the type of pen that's used, the amount of pressure put on it, the material that it's signed on. Is that index card available in the year that that was signed?
Right.
You know, is that the right fountain pen that he would have used? That sort of thing. So I looked into it, and Babe Ruth did sign index cards.
He did.
In fact, there's a whole market for them. There's people who collect just the Babe Ruth index cards.
I mean, it's so strange, right? Like, I mean, did they not have baseball cards at the time? There's nothing for him to sign other than that?
Maybe
there
was easy to pass out, and it was like an easy thing for him to sign for the kids, and he just handed them out when they were at the stadium.
Somebody had them in the back there at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Like, give me some more of those cards.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what makes an autograph interesting and more valuable or less valuable is, what was the object being signed?
Yeah.
What were the circumstances around it? You know, a team-signed ball from, you know, a World Series winning game is worth much more than a ball that got signed over the fence on a losing day.
Sure.
You know, and that's what collectors are looking for. The real key to the autograph market today is authentication. So sending it out to a place where they authenticate that the signature is real, maybe assign a grade or a condition statement to it. Doing that is where you get the most money and make the buyers feel the most comfortable. If this index card was authenticated and brought to a major sports auction, it could bring up to $10,000.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
For an index card.
Plain. That's, nothing else on it.
Yes.
That's wild, huh?
Right.
I would have never thought that. I mean, especially if, you know, from what you're saying is he used to sign index cards. He did this for the kids. The story coming from her dad, basically, you know, being there. I mean, if we have reason to believe the other parts of his story, why wouldn't I believe that, that he said that he did it all the time?
So one last question about autographs. Is it over now? Like, if you see a celebrity, I feel like everyone's always, selfie with the celebrity. But should you be asking for an autograph?
The autograph business got commoditized. So I don't know if you've ever been to a Comic-Con or a sports
convention. People.
You can buy them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Pete Rose will sign anything for $15.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
A month ago. You know, a couple months ago. Right.
But what's happened is that the autographs that are more scarce are more valuable. So like Paul McCartney didn't sign much ever. And for some reason, very few of his autographs get authenticated. Like, they get kicked out of authentication a lot. So because they're so valuable, because there's so few of them. So getting a good Paul McCartney autograph is very valuable and drives the price up. But if you go to a convention and sign all day for a few bucks every time,
right,
you're not going to be able to resell that autograph for much later.
All right. Find Ryan at goodbottleauctions.com, nesteggauctions.com. He'll be with us all week.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
He's back. Ryan Breckland from Good Bottle Auctions, Nest Egg Auctions. He's an expert appraiser. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been soliciting and asking you to send pictures of items around your house that you wanted to know what they're worth. And if you miss it, a few minutes ago, we were talking about Mary Jo. She submitted a Babe Ruth autograph on an index card. And Ryan, you said that was legit and could be worth about $10,000.
Got to go through authentication, but yeah, there's big demand for autographs.
Okay, so and we have another autograph now, right?
Yeah, so in addition to sports stars, you have music stars and movie stars. The autograph collecting got big as soon as movie stars started existing. You know, in the 20s and 30s and well into the 50s and 60s, if you liked a movie star, then you wanted something signed by them. And you could join their fan club, you could correspond by mail, you could meet them in person.
Ryan, I don't want to brag, but I was part of the New Kids on the Block fan club.
Yeah. Not a movie star, but I get it.
Did you get autograph photos?
I did get autograph photos, which now I look back and I realize they're all printed. But in my mind, when I was 11, they were actual autographs.
Yeah, they look legit.
So Sue sent this in. She said, I have a whole bunch of autograph photos that my mom had of movie stars. I'd love to see if these signatures are real and if they're worth anything. So she sent in a photograph with like 6 or 8 different 8x10 photographs. And I couldn't zoom in as much as I normally would on the signatures, but I could tell a couple of things. That she has like a few examples of all the different types of reproduced autographs. So there's something called an auto pen, which think of a drawing device where you work it with one hand with your pen and another pen on the other side of the device is copying what you're doing. So someone could sit there and make multiple autographs very quickly.
Oh, all at once.
With a real pen. But the pressure that's applied to the paper is not the same as what a hand would. So it's very easy to tell by looking at the autograph in a bright light.
Okay.
There's also secretarial autographs. So the secretary's job for a big movie star was to perfect the movie star's autographed.
So they would sign for them.
By hand.
Wow.
Right, Raven, imagine if I had a sign for you and you had a sign for me, where our signatures would look like.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then there's just straight printed autographs. You know, the photographs come out of a machine and the printing press just applies the autograph right to.
Like the New Kids on the Block ones I would get.
Most likely, yeah. Right. And you can tell that by Matt.
Tearing down your emotions.
Mm-hmm. There's six or eight of these photographs in here, and they're mostly auto pen or secretarial.
Okay.
Okay, so basically they're worth nothing?
They're also not big stars, you know? Like, someone might want a big movie star, even if it's a reproduction, just to hang it on the wall or enjoy.
Right.
But these are all kind of like B-level movie stars from the 50s.
I'm not even going to lie. When I like to skim through them myself, sure, just for my own entertainment.
You were like, who?
I didn't know a single one of those celebrities. And I was like, you were holding on to these. And I'm like, I've never heard of these people. And I wonder if maybe they were just huge back in the time and I was being naive.
Well, it's cool to imagine your mother seeking out these autographs,
yes,
or whether she's on the sound lot or, you know, the filming areas for these movies or wherever she's encountering all these people. It's fun. It's part of the story. It'd be great if they were worth a whole lot more money, too.
I think that signatures will probably be extinct soon because there's this whole story, if you missed it, like during the elections, a lot of the younger adults that were voting, when they had to sign their early ballots, they didn't match to what the government had on file and they discounted their votes because they had a match and they don't know how to sign. And my daughter, who's 16, she's one of those kids. Like, she doesn't know how to sign her name. She barely knows cursive.
I mean, either they start teaching penmanship again, or you accept a paw print or whatever from people in the future.
I think it's all going to be electronic. How much is an electronic signature worth?
Negative dollars.
Yeah.
It costs money.
All right, we're going to have more with Ryan coming up tomorrow. You can find him at goodbottleauctions.com, nesteggauctions.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.